wonderful book of Luke, and I love the writings of Dr. Luke, because you see, this is a neat thing. Like when you read Luke, you see the beloved physician. God uses you, but he doesn't hide you when he uses you. He will anoint you. See, the bush with the fire that burned in it, but the bush didn't disappear because of the fire. You are God's burning bush, and he doesn't want to erase you. He wants you to be your best self plus his anointing. He wants to anoint you in your uniqueness, and because there's only one of you in the universe, you with an anointing, nobody can match. Luke, the book of Luke, oh my, here we go. Chapter 9, if you would. And this is the basic scripture that I wanted to speak to you a little bit from. Thank you for your prayers, those kind comments, and so many wonderful things. These awesome young people, and Sister Amber, my heart was touched watching you release Kaylee. And, you know, I wanted to stop everything and just say, can you see her heart? Can you see the hearts of these teachers? So it's just really powerful that these wonderful people minister on a weekly basis to our young people. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. This is the New Testament rendition of the Old Testament name Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. Not knowing, the writer Luke says, not knowing what he said. Do you realize that if they had done this, they'd still be in a building program? How many of you know? Well, no, you probably wouldn't know, so let me tell you this. One of the hardest things in the world in an apostolic, one God, devil chasing, rest removing, gentler shaking, carpet cleaning church is to have revival when you're in a building program. Some building programs kill the preacher. It's true. I don't mean physically. I mean they take his stamina. They put weights on him that he shouldn't have to carry. So if they had done this, see, what did Dr. Luke say? He said this not knowing what he said. Don't wish that. Building program. Verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Here's the key verse. What are the key verses? Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, I love this, and I got this highlighted in my Bible. When they were come down from the hill. Those of you that have been at awakenings, when you come down the mountain, God has work for you to do. When they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down. We were talking about drama on Wednesday. One of the most toxic behaviors that drain you. There ain't nothing, honey child, like drama to wear you out. Baby doll, you can see it right here. Threw him down, and then if that wasn't enough, tear him. Dude, when's the last time you got torn? And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, the source of much drama. That would preach, wouldn't it? And healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Let's ask the Lord to talk to us right now. Would you do that with me? Raise your hearts for a few moments here. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this awesome week. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing. The liberty of worship that we have here in this building, Lord. The liberty of praise and worship, Lord, that we enjoy here. The anointing upon, Lord, ministries here, God. The anointing upon the congregation during a time of praise, Lord. The anointing that was on Brother Thad as he ministered to us and blessed us, Lord. And the Lord Jesus' sweet ministry of song and sound. And oh, God, thank you for all the ministries. And thank you for all your blessings and all the speakers and that we've heard, you know, at the conference and coming and going, all the busyness. Lord, but let there be something that resonates into us, that there are people down at the bottom of the mountain that are waiting for us. Praise God. In Jesus' name, would you clap to the Lord? You may be seated. I've got a note. It's a special paper about this years ago. Home Mission Seminar, Wausau, Wisconsin. That's not far from Milwaukee. Brian Kinsey was preaching, my friend Brian Kinsey. But I want to share with you one of his first thoughts. This was on the 16th day of March, 2001. Do you know how much fun that is to be able to pull something out of your hat that, and you got the date when it was said and who said it and where they were and where you were? He said, we can minister in church just to get people to cope, but we're supposed to overcome. Yes. In other words, we shouldn't be just trying to get by or to cope. That's not God's original purpose. And I got to tell you, to me, an interesting story, true story, about a young family. It's around Christmas time. They're getting ready to go home. Car was all packed. The mail had been stopped. The newspaper delivery had been put on hold. They had set up a neighbor, and thank God for Brother Scott and Sister Jess, who help us with our cat, who thinks she's a human being with a fur coat, plays me like a violin. They set up, this young family set up a neighbor to sort of, you know, watch the house, feed the dog. All the gifts for parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, somehow they got them crammed into the trunk of the car. They had plenty of antifreeze in the radiator. The suitcases were packed. Hanging clothes were in place. They were finally ready to go. We We had something similar to this today. We jumped in my car and we had that dessert that Paul paid buku bucks for. I forgot how good that was till she let me sample and she was making it. I thought, oh my goodness, how much did you say he was paying for this? It's worth every penny. Oh my goodness, that dessert. Oh my lands. And we had my coat hanging up and we had my little roller derby thing that I would bring here for, you know, my rolling desk, everything ready to go. And I went to hit the button and nothing happened. Ford, Lincoln, MKX. Nothing happened. And I thought, let's try that again. And I hit the button again. She said, is your foot on the brake? Yes, my foot's on the brake. Hit the button again. Nothing happened. Hit the button again. Nothing. I don't give up easily. 30 minutes later, I'm still hitting all. I did it several times. It's dead as a doornail. It was no... This century-driven... This century-driven vehicle, sensors for everything, just don't know how to get it started. So all of a sudden, we were already running late. We had to move everything over into her vehicle, carry the dessert. Get you. Oh, where's my Bible? We had to load up her car. This family, everything, all the time they had put into getting ready for this holiday trip. And so the husband starts backing out down the driveway when all of a sudden his wife lets out a gasp and says, honey, we've forgotten the baby. At that point, I would like to interject, I'm so glad that it was just a baby. So they didn't fully realize and they didn't have to grow up with a spirit of rejection that on a holiday trip they had been forgotten. True story. So here we are. We got through 4 weeks of camp. How many meetings and youth rallies Unity Youth Rally. I thought, what a catchy title for a youth rally. Unity Youth Rally. I'm being facetious. Meeting after meeting. And guess what? Next week, guess what we have to look forward to? The ladies have their once a year conference next week. Hey, come on, give it up. You ladies, aren't you get blessed. You know where I'm going with this, but you get blessed and you come back on fire. And that's an awesome thing. But after that week, the next week is men's conference. And then after the men's conference in 2 weeks is general conference. Let me tell you what I'm really worried about. That we go from meeting to meeting to meeting. We go from seminar to seminar to seminar. But don't forget the babies. Don't forget the people. Don't forget the ministry. Don't forget that God did not call you just to go to conferences. He called us to touch people and love the lost. Lift your hands and let's ask him for a burden and a vision. Oh my, dear God, in all our busyness, in all of our meetings, our mountain experiences, there's a bunch of hurting people down at the bottom of the mountain. And they don't need a conference. And I'm so, you know, I encourage you. I made nary as much, not as much as I do in most years. But we had a lot of stuff happening There were numerous reasons. I've shared one or two of those with some of you, but one of them was we had a whole lot of hurting people and emergencies taking place. And as important as it is for me to somehow tongue hanging out to get to the next meeting, there are some people waiting for us in hospitals. There are people that are waiting for us. Go ahead and get refreshed at that meeting. Get conferenced and get knowledgeable and develop your giftings. But when the sun goes down at the end of the day, all of that is not so we can say we made all the meetings. It's so that we can minister to others. Lift your hand again, would you? With me, oh my. Touch me, God. Help me not to forget the baby. Help me not to forget the people. Help me not to forget folks that I have influence with that are waiting for me. I got on the phone with Brianna. And you know who she is. I mean, we love these grandkids. And Gina, it's another breakthrough with them. It's a breakthrough. Another one. See, you don't just live on one breakthrough. Yeah, it's another breakthrough with the grandkids. Do you want to know who helped me get my stuff in my office? Elvin helped me get my stuff. You see, if we could teach, if we could get our young people involved in ministry, this is the key to maturity. It's not how many conferences you get to, but how much do you minister? Are you involved in ministry? I thought he grabbed a hold of my case, and it's bulky because it carries dry clothes. It carries a lot of stuff that I don't use, but it's there in case I need it. Then I've got clothes in here. Oh my, when I get done preaching, often I'm soaked. Because I'm trying to give this everything I've got. Hallelujah. So I could have been at that morning seminar. Needed to be there every year. I make that those classes, some of my favorite sessions. But there was this teenager waiting for me at the hospital. And Brother Tim, I couldn't get up there Friday night. And so I called Brianna, and it rang in the room and rang and rang and rang, and nobody picked it up. And I checked on the waiting room. Nobody was in the waiting room. So they said she had been sleeping. So evidently, Layla was gone, I think, to get Bailey the baby. And so there was Brianna in the room by herself. So my phone rings. She had, in her condition, busted shoulder, fractured pelvis, broken leg, concussion, burns on her arms, had called me back from a hospital room. I'm telling you, I love conferences. I love meetings. But there's nothing like ministry. There's nothing like knowing somebody needs you. Somebody's calling for you. You are called to bless somebody. You are called to bring encouragement to somebody. It's not the mountain. It's the multitude. And I got on the phone. I was sharing this with Jasmine. And Jasmine, you tell me if I don't think I'm exaggerating. But when I was sharing it with you, I got all busted up. You got all broken up when I told you what happened on the phone. I said, is there anybody there? Brianna. She said, no. You know, it's like you hear the voice of a scared little, don't forget the baby. And I said, Brianna, I've got another place I've got to be tonight, something to take care of, but I want to pray with you. And I said, you can talk to Jesus right in that room. Brother Paul told her about how God could speed up her healing. Like those busted ribs that should have taken 6 months. Oh, and they only took, what, 2 weeks? And when he goes back to the doctor, I keep telling this because I'll be gone someday. Hallelujah. And you'll get to tell the story. Pastor Meadows used to tell the story. True story, is it right? Paul, stand and wave your hand if this is a true story. The doctor 2 weeks later couldn't locate the busted ribs that should have taken 6 months to heal up because the church, Paul and Vicky and the church, had prayed over him. We need a generation that understands it's not just conferences and it's not just seminars. We need to understand what the power of God is in our lives and what it feels like to be healed by the glory of God. Yes. Woo! Yes. She chatted with me and I encouraged her to believe God with me for a quickened healing. I was in my element. I'm happiest when I'm doing soul winning. I'm happiest when I'm ministering to somebody. You'll see me at these conferences. I'm the mad scientist with the iPad, trying to take notes. Remember what the man said. Wave, jump, holler. But oh, there's something to be said about ministering to others. And when you get over-conferenced, when you get up to your eyebrows and getting to, and we have, I'm going to tell you what, I believe we have some of the most amazing meetings anywhere, anytime. Full. They're full of the glory of God. They're full of the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you this, though. He didn't call you just to climb a mountain or come home and tell your mountaintop stories. He calls you to learn how to minister to others, to love them and pray for them and weep and cry over them and win them and teach them and instruct them and mentor them. It's not just the mountain. We need to get down to the bottom, hallelujah, of the foothills and begin ministering to people that are crying out for help. Many of us have no ministry. That to me is mind-boggling. That absolutely blows my mind. And this is why we are stretched from Dan to Beersheba. And from time to time we get people telling us we need to start this ministry. And we need to do something. And that's, thanks for me. God bless you for that input. But we are stretched from Dan to Beersheba, from Miami to Augusta, Maine. We are stretched from Anchorage to San Francisco and San Diego. We are stretched by ministries and needs and necessities and responsibilities. And I would like to tell somebody in this building, I'm glad you feel the presence of God in this church. And I'm glad you love the people of God that come here. But what is your ministry? What is your passion? What are you involved in? How are you helping the work of God go forward? Would you lift your hands with me again? Oh, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to be used of God. To be used of God. But you will grow 10 times faster when you have Him ministry. You will understand things that you don't understand now. But when you get in ministry, ministry opens up understanding. Ministry quickens maturity. So, at a certain point in that congregation, that conversation, I told Jasmine this. I said, she all of a sudden said, Pastor, could you come up here tonight? You ever have somebody say something to you? You weren't ready for it. You know, you... I could take anything. And then they make this little statement. All of a sudden, your heart melts right down to your shoes. All of a sudden, Lisa. All of a sudden, Brother Tim, Brother Mike. I was like discombobulated. I was like, do I have somewhere I need to be? Really? I did. Do I have something I need? Yes, I need to get done. But something about people that are waiting for us. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, we get good at offerings and good at meetings, but we need to get good at people. We need to get good at loving. We need to get good at ministering. We need to get good at helping. It's not the mountain. It's the multitude in the foothills that he's called us to minister to. Anybody, I wish you'd jump to your feet. If you want God to use you in some measure, you could jump to your feet and say, God, give me another ministry. Give me, Lord, a heart for the lost and the hurting and the wounded. Hallelujah. It's not how many conferences you go to. Keep going. Get all that you can get. But when you come back, just minister better than you ever did before. So, I'm like trying to figure out how I would normally... Probably, what, 7, 8, 9 years of this awesome meeting, Awakenings, tearing back up the freeway to the Saturday morning teaching, which is one of my favorite portions, times. But I had not even left the hospital. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I'd even seen Brianna before my wife called me to tell me that Natasha had an emergency and she was down at another hospital. I said, I will call you back. I will call you back. I can't talk right now. I think I needed to park the car or something. I said, I will call you back. Wow. I'm running. I sat there dizzy this morning, hoping that I wouldn't fall as I preached today, because I'm stressed out, but it's a beautiful stress. It's called loving people. I'm stressed out, ladies and gentlemen, but the most awesome stress that I could ever cook up would be when I get stressed because I'm trying to get to as many people, and there's room, and the water is warm, and it was never the design or strategy of God for the preacher to do 90% of the ministry. He's called you to cry, and you to pray, and you to weep, and you to care. We can brag about our mountaintop experiences. We can tell how many times we shouted until the cows came home. You know, we shouted until we forgot about Pizza Hut. We shouted and laughed and wept and danced on the mountains of glory. But at the bottom of the mountain, there's a son who has a boy who needs deliverance. And not everybody understands how to work in that one. How to work in that ministry. You know how I got involved in spiritual warfare? I was a young pastor. And Gina, we're going to have to work in this, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to really help our sons and daughters and help our grandkids and reap. I call this a broken harvest. This is not just any harvest, generic vanilla harvest. It's a wounded harvest, and it's a broken harvest. And we've got to understand how to work in spiritual warfare. I don't have an option if I say the Great Commission is my commission. You know what we're afraid of? We're afraid of owning anything. like, well, I'll teach them a Bible study, but I'm going to kind of sandwich it between everything else I'm doing, and I know I should be doing that. And we don't walk in there and go, you know what? I'm responsible to help this person find God. I'm going to own this situation. I'm going to own this deal. I'm going to walk in here and pray and fast and cry until God gives me a miracle with them. And I help birth them into and unto the Lord and into the church. You have to walk in there and you have to own it. Does that make any sense? Selective servanthood. Selective. Well, I'll do that, but I don't think I want to do that. God is looking for servants, people who are willing to step in and just get ministry done. I was in the Tim Horton line. Anybody get their coffee at Tim Horton? Thank you, Vicky and Paul, for all those Tim Horton cards. Man, I take them seriously. I do. I think it was your card that I just wore out. I went back and I found some more. She helped me. I found some more Tim Horton cards. I'm carrying two or three other Tim Horton cards, and I'm there. You know, I'm there. I'm in line, and there's one car in front of me, and I'm sitting there, and I'm almost growing my beard because it's taking forever. And finally I turned my headlights off, and finally I killed the engine, and I sat there, and I was so tempted to go somewhere else, but don't say that, don't say give, don't quit now. Finally, I'm going to tell you that it was at least 15 minutes. That's a long time when you just want a cup of coffee. He pulled out. I wanted to jump out of my vehicle and go, I believe in miracles. So when I pulled up to the window, Jess, I said something like, man, oh man, was he getting something for his whole family? Oh, she said, 50 sandwiches. Now, you probably happen to know this. What does the number 50 speak of? It's the number of Pentecost. 50 is the number of Pentecost. She said, oh. She said, 50 sandwiches. And then I got to thinking, we're so busy getting our coffee. We're so busy taking care of us. We're so busy being happy. We're so busy and so centered on us that we forgot we're supposed to be picking up some sandwiches after church. We're supposed to be going to the altar and getting a rhema word for our hurting neighbor. We're not just supposed to come here, grab our fries and sandwich, and run out to the car, because that's for us. What do you take away from here that you can give to others? Lift your hand again, would you, with me? Oh my, hallelujah. If you want to be used of God, I wish you would ask him right now, Lord, put a new anointing on me, put a new caring on me, open my eyes to see, open my heart to discern. I wish you'd open your heart and stand right now if you want God to flow through you and say, over here, Holy Spirit, over here, Holy Ghost. I'm not in this just for me. I want to work in ministry. I want to be used of God. I love mountaintop experiences. I love conferences. I love meetings. But there's somebody waiting for us at the bottom of the foothills. And it's not a seminar that's going to help them. Oh, yeah. No. Not really. It's someone who comes with the tenderness of God. Yeah. That's not afraid to minister. I'm going to tell you what. I shared this story of Brianna with Jasmine. I got all broken up on the phone. I am trying to live with a tender heart. Everything in this world will make you hard if you let it. Everything. This world, the philosophy of our culture, it will mess you up. But I am trying to live with a free spirit and a compassionate heart. And I'm trying to be ready to minister whenever, wherever because that's what he's called us to. I got to that hospital. Jasmine beat me there. She got the all broken up. We sort of had a little revival on that phone call, didn't we, Jasmine? She said, oh, I'm so sorry. And she started to apologize. I should have been there by now. And I tried to say, Jasmine, it's no, that's okay. That's okay. You know, I wasn't calling to get her under conviction and give an altar call. As fun as that can be, maybe, on some days. Not today, for sure, because it's not about fun. But I heard your tears. And I tried to call one of the most compassionate people, because it was taking me too long to get up there. I made it not long after you did. But you see, I'm often the one that comes after she makes it. Or she and Aaron. Or she and Linda. I'm bringing up the rear. I'm bringing up the back. You know, I'm... And because Layla was there, Brianna's mom, I had the best talk with her I've ever had in the years that I've been here. And I told her stories of miracles. It impacted her. You know, when people are impacted, they can't hide it in their face. Share your story. Tell your story. Nobody's got a story like yours. You are unique, and your story is unique. Your testimony is unique. Tell your story. Woo! When Tim talks about praying back through in that church service, wasn't it around Christmas, New Year's? One of those holiday. Yeah, New Year's Eve. Good way to start a new year. Hallelujah. And he's been blessing the church ever since. And he blessed it before then, but he's really blessed it since then. And that's part of his story. You've got a story. You've got a testimony. You've been through some stuff, and people need to know what you've been through, because when you tell them, here's what you got to remember. Your car might be packed. Your plans and your trips and your dog sitter and your house sitter and everything in place. The mail's not coming and the paper's been set on hold. But don't forget the baby. Don't forget, this ain't about conferences, really, truly. As glorious, as impactive as they are, I want to know what you brought back from the conference that will help you minister better. I want to know what you brought back from the conference that will help you be more sensitive, that will help you be more compassionate. What did you bring back from the conference that will help you be better to people? Oh yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm sure this is probably not great preaching, but I'm just trying to preach out of my heart. This is what I live for. I live for him, and I live for others. I have fun and joy doing many things, but there's a deeper happiness when I'm in the midst of blessing somebody and helping somebody. Oh, they published an article in the Pentecostal Herald. I don't know why it took me this long. The only reason why I caught up to it is because my wife is a reader. And she told me about it. I don't know if you can see this picture, but it's of Sister Heidi Stark. I saw her up there. You always do when you go to their church. And it's about people that God's using. Listen to what they wrote about Heidi Stark, our superintendent's daughter. Heidi is the second of three children with an older sister, Jamie. I talked to Jamie as well the other day, and a younger brother, Jimmy. She graduated from Ohio State University with a Master of Accountancy and travels internationally for her employer, Cardinal Health. She manages employees in the United States, India, and the Philippines. Now, this was written about 2 to 3 years ago, so I doubt that much has changed, except she might be into even more ministries than she is, than she was when they wrote this article. Heidi is a member of Calvary Apostolic Church in Columbus. 6 years ago, God healed her of cancer. Anybody remember that? Heidi got healed. I remember. And she serves him with all her strength. At Calvary, she leads PEAK, PEAK, the College and Career Ministry, comma, drives a van to pick up refugees from Nepal, comma, teaches English as a second language class offered by the church, comma, is a part of Calvary's leadership team, comma, teaches Bible studies, comma, and lends her business knowledge to ensure that all things are done with excellence. And you would think, now that sounds like that girl is involved in ministry, but they're not done yet. They go on to say, Heidi is also involved in occasional overseas missions work, comma, teaches in the German Bible school, comma, and in several ladies' conferences in Brazil. You want to know why God is blessing their church? She's just one of them. But she is up to her eyebrows in ministry. And I will count this day a great success if before we leave out of this building, somebody decides, I'm gonna offer up. I'm going to offer up my personhood. I'm going to offer up my, you know, my whole collection, my gift matrix. I'm going to offer up myself and let God and leadership decide where I'm needed instead of selective surrender. Where was I when I said this years ago? We are over-talented and under-consecrated. I was 16 years old when I became a Bible quizzer. It took a lot of time. I was also a Sunday school teacher. I was also the church's youth leader. I was also involved in the music ministry. And now, since, you know, we don't have time to maybe list everything, I was on the honor roll every quarter and graduated out of a class of 220 to 250, eighth, top 10, eighth, number eight in the whole. And I was so busy in the ministries of my church, I can't believe that I even pulled that off. While we won a national quiz championship out of a church of 50. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why I'm in the ministry today. They trusted me. Why I'm preaching today? They trusted me with ministry. They got me involved. So I say to you, you have your mountaintop experiences. You shout until you have to sit down and have a cup of coffee to revive. But when you get to the bottom of the mountain, you look for somebody to love. You look for somebody to pray for. Look for somebody you can help. Look for somebody you can encourage. Come on, let's love him and bless his name. Oh my, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. We have a crisis of ministry right now. We are stretched beyond what we can carry and handle. And there's room for you. There's room for you. I remember when Anthony Mangan said this to us years ago. Pastor of a church that ran in the hundreds and hundreds, he said, I drive my own Sunday school bus. He had his own Sunday school route. Pastor of a church that runs in the hundreds, hosted each year one of the most famous conferences because of the times in the world. And yet, he drove a Sunday school bus. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I heard Mickey, his wife, say she drove her bus. Oh, come on now. Soften the lights, dear ushers, if you would. Bring the lights down soft. Thank you so much. I'm going to open this altar. I wish somebody could walk down here and say, I want to get involved. If you heard Art Wilson the other night, he keeps telling us this. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. The man who's been called of God to minister at the United Nations, Brother Art Wilson, every time we hear him now, he's trying to tell us. We're sitting around and we're doing this and that, but not too heavily involved in the harvest, not too heavily involved in ministry. It's time to get involved. We're running out of time. Hallelujah. You may may be retired, but God has a ministry for you. You may feel like you're not that talented, but God has ministries that He wants you to be involved in. He has people that only you can reach because it's your anointed personality. It's your way. It's your style that will touch them. Lord, thank you for mountaintop experiences. But there's a boy that needs deliverance. There's a daddy waiting in the crowd that needs help with his children. He needs help with his son. Don't forget the baby. Don't forget the baby. Don't forget the baby. Don't forget the people. Don't forget their heartaches.
My world needs you right now.
Don't forget. My world needs you to serve. You are called to serve.
I can't escape.
You are called to serve.
Being afraid.
Open our hearts right now, Lord.
Fill me with you.
Jesus, we agree together.
Right now.
We agree
together. Show me your face. Fill up this space.
Hallelujah.
My world needs you.
Don't forget
right
the baby.
Now.
Don't forget the people.
My world needs you.
Right the broken
now.
Harvest. Don't forget.
I can't
the wounded
escape.
People that you know. They're waiting for you.
Being
they're waiting
afraid.
For you. Don't forget. Don't forget.
Fill me
don't
with
get so wrapped up
right
in holidays.
Now.
Don't get so wrapped
my
up in meetings.
You
don't get too wrapped
right
up in conferences.
How
to
far
we're called to love people. We're called.
Bring with it a sound
to serve
that points us to you.
Hallelujah.
Right. A way substitutes right.
I love you, God. I love
fix
you, God.
I see.
I love you, God. I love
God,
you,
please
God.
Fix me.
Oh, put some.